dad more than once say, hey, could you do that positive affirmation thing that you were doing a few Sundays? They missed that. We had a few things going. I couldn't do that. So if you're okay with that, we'll do that again. So I need you to stand again if we're going to do that. The Bible says, by your words you're justified. By your words you're condemned. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation or your damnation. And the most powerful words are the words that you speak to yourself and the words that you hear within. Those are powerful words. Can make a big difference. So I'm going to lead you in this confession like we've been doing. Set your week off for something good. But I need you to say it after me, good, loud, strong, and as we go on in it, don't fade out, okay? Stay strong to the end, okay? Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will hear the word of God. I will believe it. I will act on it, and my life will change for the better. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Wonderful, excellent. You did a wonderful job. Okay, I've entitled this The Kingdom of God. This is part one. This particular message is the government of God. You notice you have your handouts ahead of time. That's another thing that people have said. Oh, we'd like to get those ahead of time. The only reason I don't is because I don't want you to be thinking about point three when I'm still on point one, you know, type of thing there. So control yourself out there. You've got it. All right. Here's the main theme I want to get over to you. The kingdom of God is God's governmental rule that is designed to bless and undo burdens. That's what God does. He blesses and he undoes burdens. Got any burdens in your life? Physical, mental, financial, social, God's government is geared, it's designed to undo it. Not just help you live with it, undo it. That almost sounds too good to be true, but I didn't write the Bible, okay? I'm going to prove all these things, all these points that I'm going to make, all right? So he is designed, his governmental rule is designed to bless and undo burdens concerning people, places, and things. Certain people might be a burden to you. Certain places, oh, I hate this job, or I hate this, or I hate that, or I hate this thing, right? God can undo all of it. But we have to play by his governmental guidelines, his governmental principles. And let me say this right now, that everybody's living by some kind of governmental rule. We call it our value system. Everybody's living by something. But you need to ask yourself, whose am I living by? Okay. Got 3 points to this message. Here's point number one. Teaching about the kingdom of God was a priority with Jesus, and it was his main message. We need to think about that. Teaching about the kingdom of God was a priority with Jesus, and it was his main message. That means it needs to be a priority with us. All right, let's back up what I just said with the Bible. Look at what it says in Matthew 4, 23, okay? Proving that Jesus, this was his main message and his priority. Jesus went about all of Galilee. Have you ever wondered what Galilee is? Galilee was a region. It was not a city. We would refer to it like we'd say today of a county. This is, you know, the right county, this county, that county, okay? It's an area. Galilee was a northern area of Israel, okay? And that's where Jesus was brought up. In a town, now there are towns in the area, like Nazareth, where he was brought up, okay? Anyway, he went through all this whole region. Jesus went about all of Galilee teaching in their synagogues, or today we would say the church. He was teaching, okay? So he was a teacher, okay? And preaching. He was teaching and preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom. Okay? You've probably heard that the word gospel means good news, okay? It means actually it's something so good it's almost too good to be true. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom, right? And you know what went along with that? Healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. All kinds of good news. Okay? I have not forgotten. I've not forgotten what? You're going to hear it. There's all kinds of good news. We're going to have food afterwards. That's good news. We're going to have good fellowship afterwards. That's good news. You know what else is good news? We have a couple here that just got married last night. Isn't that wonderful? Kristen and Lucas are now husband and wife. Stan, let them see how cute you guys look, okay? Give them a good applause. Yay! Congratulations, you may be seated. That was good news that they got married. Hallelujah. Amen. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, you know what else we need to realize? How many people do you know that would have gotten married on Saturday and went to church on Sunday? Give me a break, huh? Okay? And I understand, you know, they have you have things like honeymoons, this, that, and the other. But here they are. They could have said, well, we can't go to church. We just got married. Yeah. Here they are. Oh, they're to be commended. Okay, that's good news. Jesus was preaching the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. So it was a priority with him, and it was his main message. That means it needs to be a priority with us. And we need to learn as much as we can about the kingdom, the governmental rule of God. Okay? All right, here's my second point that I want to get over to you. Making the kingdom of God a priority is all about these six things. It's all, and we'll put them up there. It's all about the why, the who, the one, the where, the now, all of that. The how, the why, who, what, where, when, and how. It's all about, and we're going to go all through all of those real, real easy and real quickly. I got to learn why. Why? Why should I do this? Why should I make it a priority? Because here's what the Bible says in Matthew 6:33. You've heard me say it many times before. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek the way God rules. Okay? Seek that first. Why? Here's just one benefit. If you do, all your other needs will be added to you. All of the things that you need. Everything, physical, mental, financial, it'll be added to you if I'll seek the kingdom of God. Well, seeking the kingdom of God means that we need to go through the, why should I do this? Who is this for? What's involved in it? Where does it work? When does it work? How does it work? I want to cover all that, okay? Very important stuff. All right, so let's deal with the first one, why. That won't be on your screen because it's too much stuff, okay? But it'll be in your handout there. So if you want to read that along, that's fine. But if you don't, because there's a lot there, I'll give it to you in a nutshell. The reason we need to learn about the kingdom of God is because we are all involved in a war that's going on between the devil, who hates us, and God, who loves us. There's a war going on between the devil and God, the devil and God, the devil and God. But humanity is in the midst of that. Well, why am I in the midst of that? I always tell people all the time, I'm not in management, I'm in sales, okay? So I don't make the rules, this, that, and the other. It wasn't God's plan for man to mess up. Adam and Eve opened the door to us getting into this, and so God came to the rescue. So now we have to deal with the fact that the Bible says the devil is the god of this world. And what that means is the devil is the god of this world's system, this world's system. All the junk that you see, it's because somebody opened the door to the devil having his way in the worldly system. But we can overcome it if we know how to operate by the kingdom of God. It can override the kingdom of the devil. You see, we are the object of the devil. In this war, the devil knows he can't beat God. He knows that. So you know what he tries to do to get back at God? Get us. Because he knows we are the crowning glory of God's creation. He knows how much God loves us. And the only way he can get back at God, because, you know, he got into pride and he got thrown out of heaven. He used to be Lucifer. He was an angel. then he became the devil. And so he doesn't like that what happened to him. And so he wants to get back at God, and he can't. The only way he can is by messing with us. So we are the object of the devil who's trying to destroy us. We are also the object of God, who loves us, wants to bless us, wants to deliver us, and protect us. Not just get us out of problems when we get in it, which is, that's a good thing. He wants to help us before we get into the problem. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. So we are the object of the war that's going on between the two. One wants to kill us, the other one wants to give us life and health and joy and happiness and meet our needs. It's all about us. So you hear people say, hey, it's not all about you. Well, when it comes to this spiritual war, it is. And so the reason I need to know about the kingdom of God is so that I can cooperate with God who wants to bless us. Otherwise, without knowing it, I might be cooperating with the devil who wants to kill us. The Bible calls him a liar. The Bible calls him the father of lies. And he always tries to paint himself as great. Sin is great. Hey, isn't this great? Let's do this. He's a liar. Okay. So I want to make sure I don't open the door to the kingdom of the devil, but open the door to the kingdom of God. So to do that, I need to learn how the kingdom of God operates. Okay? So I just gave you the why. Now, to prove to you, now you might not like, well, I don't like that I'm in the middle of a war. Like I said, I didn't write the Bible. I'm not in management. I'm in sales. Okay? I'm going to prove to you that we're in a war. But that's okay. You can win. All right? Here's what the Bible says. We'll put it up on the screen. 2 Corinthians 10:4. All right? Wow, look at it. The weapons of our warfare. Did you read that? We're in a warfare. We're in a warfare. You might not. Well, I didn't ask for this. Neither did I. But that's it. The weapons of. But here's the good news. The weapons of our warfare are not physical. Okay? Martin Luther, the guy who started the Lutheran church type of thing. I don't know how true the story is, but I've heard it say he was a godly man, good man. And that he was having, I guess, problems with the devil, and he got so mad, he threw an inkwell at where he thought the devil was. Well, that's a nice thought, but God has given us weapons that are not physical. So if we're going to get the devil out of our life and get God helping us in our life, I have to use a different type of weapon. The weapons of our warfare, we're in a warfare, are not physical, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Now think of that. The devil tries to bring a stronghold in your life. I just can't get rid of this habit. Whatever it is, whether it's a substance abuse, whether it's, you know, running off at the mouth, saying things you shouldn't say. Having said that, let me make something perfectly clear. I wish they'd bring me in on Capitol Hill. We've got so many that think it's cool to use profanity. I've never seen such a thing. And I heard somebody say this. Somebody who's constantly using profanity is a person's weak mentality to bring forth something that they're trying to bring to pass that they have no other way of doing it because their mind is too weak. I'd like to tell them that. I'd say, won't you guys grow up? I mean, they use every words you would have never heard before on TV and all that. The F word, this, that. Dear God. Okay? So, all right, now I said that, got that off my chest. I said that. So you might think, I know I've got a problem with my mouth. In fact, boy, this will date you. A long time ago, if you were a young person and you talked like that, you know what they would say? I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap. Does anybody remember those words? Like I said, we need that on Capitol Hill. They need a big bar of soap. Dear God. Yeah. So you might say, I can't stop talking this way. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't get it together. I can't stop stealing. I can't stop worrying. I can't. Okay? All these type of things. That's a stronghold. God has given you an ability to pull that stronghold down. Our weapons are not physical, but they are mighty through God for this purpose of pulling down a stronghold. The devil's always trying to build a stronghold, whether it's I worry too much, I got this habit, I've got that habit, it's a stronghold. God wants to be your stronghold. Boy, and I'm going to share with you something in a little bit that, you know, God helped me with concerning something here. All right, so that's the why. Let's go on to the who. We're going to put this up on the screen. Whoever lives by the kingdom of God principles can have its benefits. Whoever. That's good. You don't have to be a certain color. You don't have to be a certain sex. You don't have to have a certain amount of money. Whoever lives by the kingdom principles can have its benefits if you live according to the principles. All right? Let's back that. So you qualify. Now the devil, the Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren, which means he's constantly trying to bring things on the inside of you that make you feel like junk because of mistakes you've made. Okay? And I'm telling you, the Bible is loaded, just loaded with people that we would have never used. We would have never used the 12 disciples to be his 12 disciples. We would have never used Paul to write more than half of the books of the New Testament when he was murdering people, Christians, putting them in jail. And God used him. Now, he got his life changed, but so you have to realize that no matter what's in the past, you're still a candidate. It's for whoever says, I'm going to live by God's governmental values. You know, everybody's living by some kind of values. Most people are living by their values that they came up with. They might be good. They might be okay. They might be bad. Okay? God's values are perfect. Whoever lives by it can have its benefits. Whoever. All right, let's back that up with the Bible. Okay? Bible says in John 3:16, you've heard me say this before, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son that whoever believes on him will not perish but have eternal life. Whoever. It's for whoever. That's how the kingdom of God operates. But you have to believe. Whoever believes on him. And that word believes means adhere to, like adhesive, stick to it. Whoever sticks to God, sticks with God, trusts in, clings to, relies on God can have the benefits. It's for whoever. In Mark 16, 15, God told him, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news of the kingdom to every creature. It's for whoever. It's for whoever. It's for whoever. It's not an elitist type of thing. It's for whoever. So you qualify. You qualify to get the blessings. All I have to do is live by its guidelines. That's all I have to do. And they are good. They are the best guidelines. It's much better to live under God's guidelines, even though your flesh might feel like, oh, I don't want to do that type of thing. It's okay. If you'll follow God's ways, you'll be glad you did. All right? All right, so we got the why. We got the who. Let's deal with the what. We're going to put this on the screen. Whatever the kingdom of God covers, anyone can have if they follow the rules. Whatever. Okay, well, what are these blessings? That's why we need to study the Bible. And I know that's a thick book. That's why if you come here, you get these cute little handouts. Okay, all right? To help you focus in on certain things. Hey, I've been studying the Bible for over 50 years. That's a long time, okay? And I'm still learning. So you might say, well, I don't have enough time for that, right? That's why I give you the handout. You've got time to do something with that handout, even if it's 1 point, one scripture, two scriptures during the week. Do something. If you do that every week at the end of the year, you'll be a lot smarter in the Word than you are right now. And so will I. I'm constantly learning. I forget the number. I number all my messages. You're on message number 3,000-something. I forget what it is. Like I said, I've been doing this for 50 years. I've got them all. Okay? And I'm still learning. So, I need to find out what does the kingdom of God covers? What's allowed in this kingdom? Okay. What's allowed? What's not allowed in this kingdom? I need to know that. It's for whoever wants to live by its rules, if I'll find out, yeah, hey, this is covered. It's kind of like a last will and testament. Okay? Sometimes you'll hear about somebody that died and they left their will, and some of the family members are fighting over who's going to get this and who gets that type of thing. And it would all be over if while they're in court and they're fighting this out and this attorney is speaking against this attorney and they're trying to get it and one's fighting against another, and all of a sudden the guy that died, because the will doesn't work until the guy dies, and all of a sudden the guy that died walks in the courtroom. That's the that's the end of the argument. Because all you got to do is say, well, who was this for? Yeah, him, right here. Not her, him. Or her, not him. That's exactly what happened with Jesus. All right, let's prove that to you. I gave this to you not too long ago. Hebrews 9:16. See, when you read the New Testament, it's literally like a last will and testament. Everything that's covered in that, you can have it. If you believe it, adhere to it, stick with it, trust in it, cling to it, rely on it, trust it. That's what the word believe really means. It's more than just mental agreement. All right, now look at this. Look at this, okay? Where there is a last will and testament, that's what that testament is that you have at home, okay? Where there is a last will and testament involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. Well, that's a historical fact. Whether you believe the Bible or not, it's a historical fact that there was a man named Jesus Christ who lived and died. Now, you have certain ones that are trying to say it wasn't a historical fact that he was raised from the dead. But first of all, I believe that there was. The Bible says at one point he was seen by over 500 people who saw him go up into heaven, just go back and all that. Okay. So we know he died, and for me, we know he's alive. In fact, here's what the Bible says. This is Revelation 1:18. This is powerful. This is what Jesus said. I am he who lives and was dead, but I'm alive forever and always, and I possess the keys. Absolute control and victory over death and hell. I need to know that. Because once I see that, oh, look at here, God promised to meet my needs. That's in the will. He died to put it into force. Now he came back to life to make sure it gets carried out. If I'll believe it, adhere to it, stick with it, trust in it, cling to it, rely on it. Okay? If I'll do that, he's here to make sure it comes to pass. He's got the control, but he needs our cooperation. He doesn't work by himself. The Bible says we work together. That's in Corinthians. We work together. God's not going to do it all. We can't do it all. But together. So God's made all kinds of blessings available to you. All kinds of blessings. But for me to tap into it, I have to know what the will says. Hey, God promised to heal me. God promised to answer my prayer. God promised to come in the midst of my mess. Okay? God's promised that. He's promised to guide me. You have to. So anybody here need some help with guidance? Should I take this job or not? Should we buy this house or not? Should I go to Journey Church or not? You don't have to even pray about that. That's the will of God, that you come to Journey Church. Okay? I'll help you with that. Okay. Hallelujah. God will guide you. That's in the will. I'll guide you into all of the truth. All right. Here's another one. In Hebrews 9:24, the Bible says, because in the Old Testament, he was trying to show them what was to come with Jesus. And so they had what they called a tabernacle, where a man called a priest would go in and offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people once a year. It was called the Day of Atonement. And they would have to kill an animal because sin is so terrible, the only way it can be done away with is somebody has to die. And so they would kill an innocent animal, bring the blood of that, the priest, into that as a sacrifice for the sins of the people. Now, the blood of animals can't take away the sins of mankind, but it was a type of what was going to happen with Jesus. But the priest would go into this place called the Holy of Holies and offer the sins of the people to be put away so that they wouldn't have the wrath of God on them. Here's what the Bible says, and that was a figure of what was to come with Jesus. Here's what the Bible says in Hebrews 9:24. Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now, to appear in the presence of God for us. That's a part of the benefits of the new covenant. That's a part of the benefits. Now, once again, how do I get those benefits? I have to do everything it says. Now, listen. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. It starts by going to church. Okay? There's really not a whole bunch of sacrifice involved with that. I mean, other than getting up instead of sleeping in. I get it. But I mean, once you come here, there's not a whole bunch demanded of you. I'm doing all the talking. You're doing all the listening. Okay? The only time that we ask more is like when we've got a good praise and worship team like we have and say, come on, let's praise God. Then we need to get involved. But nobody's making you do that. Okay? But it's good if you do it. It's real good. Okay? So that's where it starts. Come on. Okay, well, I can at least go to church. Okay? Not once a month. Okay? We meet here every Sunday. Okay, a little quiet on that, but anyway, hallelujah. So, like I said, I know I'm preaching to the choir here. Okay. So that's where it starts, to obey the principles. Then he talks about study the word. So when you leave here, you need to take some time during the day to get a Bible verse in you. You don't have to spend hours, but take something to say, well, I'm going to memorize that Bible verse. Okay. Then take some time to talk to God. We call that prayer. If you can do those three things, you're on your way to putting in the principles of being governed by the kingdom of God. And remember, if you're not being governed by his kingdom, you're being governed by somebody else's. And all the other ones can get you in big trouble. Big trouble. Okay? So that's where it starts. Church, Bible study, prayer. Now, there's other things involved, but that's a good way to start. Now, once we get that down, we need to realize, you can say something like that. You know, Lord, I don't know how about this, and I don't know how about that, but one thing I do know, you're in the presence of God for me right now, helping me. You're in the presence of God right now, praying for me. Just thinking on that is a blessing, all right? Okay, now, once we get that down, then Mark 9:23 becomes a possibility. And you know what it says? All things are possible to them that believe. All things are possible to them that are believers in the kingdom of God. Them that what? That adhere to, stick with, trust in, cling to, rely on. Everybody that does that, now all things are possible. I just came across a testimony about somebody that was accidentally shot. I mean, it was really an accident. Somebody was trying to be funny, and they got this gun, and they thought it was empty, and they put it in the back of them and shot him, and it wasn't empty. Yeah. And I just heard this testimony. And I remember when I was in the military, somebody was trying to be funny like that too, with an M16. You don't want to be playing with an M16. That's a very, very powerful rifle, okay? And this really happened. They were practicing their quick draw with the... It was just one. It was just a rifle like that. And it went off, and he killed a person. Okay? It's nothing to play with. That's what happened with this testimony that I heard. Somebody was accidentally shot. They didn't mean to shoot him. They thought it was... And they begin to pray, and that bullet came out just like you would squeeze a pimple, and the pus would come out. Dear God! Well, I didn't write the... You know, they had to do something. I don't know if that person was... leaving this planet, you know, they called 911. There's nothing wrong with that, but they prayed, and the bullet came out. Dear God, well, that goes right along with all things are possible to them that are believers in God's kingdom realm, God's kingdom rule. Okay, let's go on to where. Okay, we'll put that up on the screen. Where does this work? God's kingdom blessings are for this life, the life to come, and inside Christians. This is important. We all know that we used to sing a song when I was growing up in church called In the Sweet By and By. And it was all about, I know it's rough now and it's hard now, but in the sweet afterlife, it's going to be wonderful. Well, and that's true. But God's got good things for you now. God's got real good things for you now. I mean, real good things. You need to get that in you, and I'm going to give you a scripture that'll help you. 1 Timothy 4:8. Look at this. Okay. This is important. Godliness and spiritual training is profitable and is of value in everything and in every way. Watch. Having promise of the life that now is. What's that? That's a cute way of saying it'll benefit you right now, Bubba. If I'll learn to be under the control of the kingdom of God, it'll benefit having promise. It'll give you blessings of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Did you read that? Okay. So where does it work? Okay, I know heaven's going to be wonderful, but I'm going through hell right now. You don't have to. Or if you're going through it, keep going so that you get through it. Okay. God will help you. We all deal with things. We all deal with them. I'm going to tell you about something that happened to me just yesterday. Okay? Luke 17:21, they asked Jesus, how do we know where this kingdom is, where it's going to come? And look at what he says. Okay? Very, very important. The kingdom of God is within you. What's he saying? There really is a kingdom of heaven where the kingdom of God rules. There really is that. But you know where it starts? It's something that comes in my heart. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking in line with the Bible. I'm feeling in line with the Bible. I'm acting in line with the Bible. I'm speaking in line with the Bible. I'm looking at things in line with the Bible. I'm understanding in line with the Bible. And that's what I'm going to be speaking on the next time I speak along this line. I'm going to talk about how we get anchored into the kingdom of God. How we get anchored. And that's a little bit, you just heard it, okay? A little bit. So I need to realize when I start getting these things on the inside of me, these truths, these governmental rules on the inside of me, it can change the outward. It can change the outwards. Has anybody ever heard of an MRI? Of course you have. Okay. How do those things work? Okay. You know how they work? That's because your body has things in it that are, for a lack of a better term, like they have an electrical impulse to it. And they have certain things just like that. You ever heard of somebody getting shocked back to life? Their heart gives out and they put these things on, boom! How can they do that? Something about our bodies has an electrical charge. You know what I heard a man say that a lot smarter than me? He said, your thoughts are very electric. Just your thoughts are electric. And your emotions are magnetic. And when you put those two things together, you have electromagnetic things that you can bring into your life or get out of your life. Boy, wouldn't that be good if all of a sudden I took time with my thoughts and my emotions of what the kingdom of God says and focus on that. You really can change. Listen, don't live your life where you're constantly trying to be passive and fix a problem. Nothing wrong with that. But God would like you to be a creator and create the life that he's got for you. But he needs your cooperation. He's the one that does the miracle power. But I have to believe, adhere to, trust in, cling to, rely on. I got to do that. And you can because you're made in his image. All right, let's go on. When? All right. God's kingdom blessings start now because the price has already been paid. Like I said, we used to sing a song, In the Sweet By and By. We used to sing another song, When We All Get to Heaven, What a Day of Rejoicing That Will Be. I like that song, and it's the truth. It is going to be wonderful. That doesn't mean you have to go through hell along the way. If I'll learn God's kingdom principles and get him in me, it can change things out here. I don't care who you are, okay? So we need to get that in us. All right, 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God's trying to say, it starts now. Quit putting it off. It starts now. Now I'm going to give you another scripture that really brings this home, and this is going to be up there. Mark 1:15. This is something Jesus said. I'm going to give it to you in a different translation. Okay, catch this. The kingdom of God. Catch this. This is Jesus talking. The time is fulfilled. The time is now. 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 You can get your healing now. I'll tell you something else. I can remember something saying, and this will be kind of neat since we've got a banquet thing going on back there. I was listening to this preacher, and he said that their church had something really neat going, and I think they were serving chili or something like that. Now, in a setting like that, you don't think that miracles could happen. And he said, as we were going in the line, and I was getting, you know, his chili and all of that, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God told me that person's got a problem over there. Just touch them, and healing will come. While they're getting spooned out chili. Wouldn't that be nice if while you're back there and we've got some chicken, I think, is it chicken, Dolly, we got back there? Okay. Yeah, you got chicken back there type of thing. While you're getting the chicken on the bun, you got rid of a bunion, okay? Okay. That was kind of cute. Didn't have that plan, but anyway. God can do it. God can do it. You know why it doesn't happen more? We got goofy ideas, religious ideas, instead of the fact that God's working all the time. God, he's just looking for somebody to cooperate. It starts now. All right, let me get back to this verse again. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. It is time for God's kingdom to be experienced in its fullness. We could say that for us. I'm ready, okay? Repent and believe the gospel. Turn your lives back to God. Put your trust in the hope-filled gospel. The what? The good news of the kingdom. That's what Jesus preached. Learn what the book covers. Take it serious. God will change your life. All right. Now, having said that, we go to the last one. How? God's kingdom operates based on the priority and power of his word. That's why I need to get his word on the inside of me. So I've got a number of things that I can't put up there. It would have been too much, but they'll be in your handouts. That you need to at least go over one of them, if not all six. It's not hard. I'll show you how. Why do I need to go over those? And we'll put this up here. John 6:63 said, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are a spirit and they are life. What does that mean? They are a spiritual form of energy. They are a force of power. God's word. So start memorizing certain scriptures. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. In Numbers 23:19, the Bible says, God's not a man that he should lie, or the son of a man that he should repent. Have he said it? Shall he not do it? Has he spoken? And shall he not make it good? The answer, those are rhetorical questions. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. But I got to get it in me. I got to get it in me. So going over these six things, at least one of them, on a continual basis. It's very easy and yet very powerful. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. I need to get that in me. I'm a new creation. I'm not the old guy I used to be. Not in my spirit. I'm a new creation. In 2 Corinthians 2:16, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. I don't know what to do. Your natural mind doesn't know what to do, but your spirit does. I don't know what decision to make here. Your spirit does. Start making that a positive confession. I'm a new creation. I've got the mind of God. Number three. I can do all things through Christ, through strength. Not something. I can do all things through Christ, through Christ, through Christ. He'll empower me to deal with this. All right? Philippians 4:19. My God will meet all of my needs. Not half of them. All of my needs. I need to get out of debt. I got this loan. I got this. I got this student loan. I've got this, that, and the other. God will meet all of my needs. Zechariah 4:6. Not by might or our own power, but by his spirit it's going to be done. And then 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he, God, who is in me, than he, the devil, or the junk that is in this world. Now, I want to share with you something that God really, 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 really helped me with here. Yesterday, I was having to get things for our meeting back there, and all of a sudden, I had to go to another place there, and so I was getting things with my debit card, okay? And so I went and to another place to use that debit card, and it was not in my billfold. Yeah, buddy. And I said, oh, man. Well, I remembered I had put it, you know, I was going, and I put it in my pocket so that I didn't have to take time as I was getting my receipt and all that to put it in the billfold, so I just put it in my pocket. So I said, well, I know what happened. I changed pants. It's probably still in that pocket. So I went home, went through all that and all that, and no, wasn't there, wasn't here. I looked here, I looked there, I went here, there, there. And I was really, feeling bad. And said, Lord, am I losing it here? What is wrong with me? Because, you know, I did something else stupid that day. I put my belt on backwards. I had my belt on backwards. I said, you know, why isn't that buckled? Oh, you put it on backwards, stupid. Now, God didn't call me that. I called myself that. And so I'm starting to really feel bad at that. Lord, I'm losing it. Somebody's going to have to pick me up and take me somewhere in a pasture or something. Just sit down and shut up. Not too long ago, I got picked up because I ran a stop sign. I didn't even know it. I had this very, very feminine, cute, small female pull me over. And I'll tell you why I say that. So I rolled my window down and I said, I guess I was going too fast. And she said, no, not at all. She said, you went through that stop sign back there. And I said, I did? Where was it? And she laughed and she said, well, it was right. And she was, the reason I said, because she was cute. She was young and she was little. I wanted to say, why are you involved in the police force? Don't you realize certain people are going to try to take advantage of you? I didn't say that. But anyway, I guess because she's got a 45 on her hip, that helps. That was good. She laughed. She said, well, don't worry. I'm just going to give you a warning. So I'm adding all that up. Let's see here. Went through the stop sign. Didn't even know there was a stop sign. Put my belt on backwards. And now I lost my debit card. Just shoot me now. Okay? All right. So I was feeling bad. Finally had one more thing. I said, I'm going to go back to the last place that I went to, see if maybe somebody turned it in. So I went to two places. Went to one place, no, they didn't have it. Went to the other place, and oh man, you talk about sirens going off. Yeah, somebody turned this in. They found it in the parking lot and turned it in, and they said, we need the name. I gave them the name, need the number. I gave them the number. Yeah, that's it. I saw that card. Boy, it was like somebody handed me $1 million. I couldn't stop thanking God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Rodina, late last night, she said, are you going to come to sleep? I didn't tell her, but I wanted to say I might be up all night just saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Because that card's got a lot of things that get paid automatically, and I would have had to get that all straightened out, this, that, and the other, not to mention if that falls in the wrong hands. I was feeling so horrible, and then when they found it, I was feeling so great. Now, catch this. There's a reason to all of this. Thank you. I couldn't stop saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, I was doing my best to put in practice the things I'm teaching you. Well, God, you'll help me with, I got a need here. Lord, help me find that. I got a need there, but I sure didn't feel like it. The Bible says we need to call things that don't exist as though they already do exist. That means with thanks, we're supposed to give God thanks before we have it in the physical. I was having a hard time doing that. I was trying. Thank you, God. I believe you're going to help undo this burden. Now, once they found it, the emotions that I felt physically after I knew I physically had it were not the same emotions that I was trying to muster up to thank God for it, and I didn't have it yet. Are you following me? And I felt like God was saying, okay, use this as a lesson. When you can get the same level of your emotions before you have something to the same level as after you have something, that's when faith will really work for you. And to do that, you gotta practice that. You gotta practice that. Because before I had it, I was going, thank you, God, for helping me. Thank you, God. Like that. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not much. After I got it physically, it was, thank you, God. Thank you. Totally different. That's what needs to come over before you have it. That's when faith works. And to do that, you got to practice it. But if we'll do it, we'll see the kingdom of God start working like crazy. Start with one of the things I want to help you do is become so. Listen to all of it. Don't turn me off. I want you to become so wealthy that you'll be a philanthropist. You know what that is? That's somebody who gives money here, gives money there, and they don't miss it because they just got a lot of money. I just read about a movie star. He did this great movie, you know, and all that, and he had something to do with motorcycles, and there were a lot of stuntmen involved with that, but they can make some good money. He bought the whole team of stuntmen, which I think was about 24. He bought them all a Harley Davidson. Dear God, you got to have a little bit of money to do that. That's what I want for you. And I'm going to speak on that. Why? Why do you want to get rich? Because it's not about you. You get opportunities to share the gospel when you have that like never before. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together.